Psalm 22, verse 22. Here's the story I'll tell my friends when they come to worship and punctuate it with hallelujahs. Shout hallelujah, you God worshippers. Give glory, you sons of Jacob. Adore him, you daughters of Israel. He has never let you down. Never looked the other way when you were being kicked around. He has never wandered off to do his own thing. He's been right there, listening. Here in this great gathering for worship, I have discovered the praise life. And I'll do what I promised right here in front of the God worshippers. Down and outers sit at God's table and eat their fill. Everyone on the hunt for God is here praising Him. Live it up from head to toe. Don't ever quit. From the four corners of the earth, people are coming to their senses, are running back to God. Long lost families are falling on their faces before Him. God has taken charge. From now on, He has the last word. All the power mongers are before Him, worshipping. All the poor and powerless too, worshipping. Along with those who never got it together, worshipping. Our children and their children will get in on this, as the word is passed along from parent to child. Babies not yet conceived will hear the good news that God does what He says. Here ends our scripture reading. May all of us sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this morning. Dear friends, brothers, sisters, a mother told her little son, "Every time you're naughty, I get another grey hair." "Gee, Mom, you must have been a terror when you were young. Just look at Grandma." And then there was also a husband, unfortunately, who had many quarrels with his wife, who returned home one evening just to find his young son, Ronnie, sitting with head in hands and a forlorn expression. "What's wrong, Ronnie?" asked the father. After a moment of silence, the lad confesses, "Just between you and me, Dad, I can't get along with your wife either." Relations between parents and children, when good and healthy, are indeed the source for many excellent and funny stories. I'm sure that most of all can add a little story, a little incident on this topic this morning. But there's also the other side. Your and my relations with our children and their children can cause much pain and hurt. One thing is for sure. Our children are our hope for. They are the link with the future. Now, King David was in a crisis when he wrote Psalm 22. So when reading, maybe you sensed some of that while I was reading. When reading the psalm, you can sense pain, frustration, suffering, and loneliness. You see, it was a time in his life when David himself was tired and scared and believed that he was dying and faced with the threat of extinction. When that happens in our lives, probably we will have the same line of thinking. So in that moment of misery, he talks about descendants, about families, about posterity and future generations. He talks about a people yet to be born. Brings us to the question, why? Why are future generations so very important to David? Well, there are several reasons. David says in these verses that our children give us a taste of immortality. Our children are our link with the future, near and far. Our children make us feel that somehow, even after we have died, there is something of ourselves that will live on in future generations. Now, the songwriter Paul Overstreet tells of taking his own children to see their grandparents. And then his mother got out the old photo albums and they looked at the pictures of years gone by. And it was then that he noticed that the pictures of his father look a whole lot like him right now. Then he composes, then he sings. I'm seeing my father in me. I guess that is how it is meant to be. And I'm finding I'm more and more like him each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father in me. Overstreet remembers the times in the past when he fought with his father and when they could not see eye to eye. And now much later he says, I'm so glad that my father lives in me. Now, that's exactly what bothered King David so much. He was fully aware that he would die sometime. And he knows he almost did, just a short while ago. But he reckoned, if my children live on, if they remember who I was, if they carry with them the essence of what my life meant, then death won't be so bad for me after all. Death comes easier if children who carry your name surround you. And even if we are single, or even if we have never had children of our own, there is something extra special about a niece or a nephew, or even the child of a friend who carries our name. Even if we die, something deep within us will live on in future generations. And there's also another reason why David talks about children here. He says, in essence, that our children confirm the values of our lives. He wants his children to worship God, he says. I know there's people listening to me right now, carrying deep concern and pain in their hearts about children and their children. Many of us weep inside. Have they turned their backs on everything we taught them? King David wants his children to worship God. He wants his descendants to look back and to say that he was on the right track after all. He wants his descendants to hear about what he went through and then to tell others about his testimony. And that's why he wrote this psalm. Now Mark Twain put it this way. He said, "When I was 16, I could not believe how dumb my dad was. And when I turned 21, I could not believe how much he had learned in only 5 years." The same story appears repeatedly across the pages of history. When the prodigal son came home to his father, he finally realized how good and how right and how meaningful his dad's values were. When children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren gather for a couple's anniversary or for a parent's birthday and they remember the past together, and when they talk about the good old days and they laugh about the things they did together even long ago, then there's a confirmation and a sense of testimony that what the parents stood for was right and good and meaningful after all. The children take hold of the parents' values. And what was silent in the parent often speaks in the child in the next generation. And that's what David sings about here. Posterity will serve him. The future generations will hear about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. The children of the church are its testimony in a changing world, and they give us a sense of immortality. They affirm the values and the ideals that we hold so dear. And another reason why David talks so much about children in Psalm 22 is because they continue your and my pilgrimage of life. There comes a time in life when we realize that we are probably not going to be able to do it all after all. When we realize that there will be so many of our dreams that will never be fulfilled, that there will be plans that sit on the shelf, still in the blueprint stages. Life is too short to do all that we want to do. Therefore, we hope that the next generation will carry on where we have left off, and will move further down the road toward the kingdom of God. For us, the kingdom of God is not something yonder floating in the sky. It is a definite hope, it's a definite dream, it's a definite dedication that we want to leave this world better than when we found it, when we were born. That we believe that eventually good will conquer the bad, that people will come to their senses, and that they will move forward towards the coming of the kingdom of God on earth. That the hatred will lessen, that the pain will subside, and that there will be room and there will be place for all. Oh, some say I'm an optimist, but I believe with all my heart that you and I can leave this world just a little bit better than when we found it, when we grew up. Somebody has to carry on when you and I leave off. Somebody has to continue changing the world for the better making it a better place for others to live in. And deep in our hearts, we see some of our failures, and then we hope maybe our sons and daughters will be brighter, better, bolder than we are. Maybe they will take the pilgrimage of life that we started and push it just one step further towards the kingdom of God on earth. What are your hopes? What are your dreams? Betty Burnett wrote so beautifully, "Give them food, give them clothes. They are needful, heaven knows. Give them bikes and cowboy boots. But first of all, give them roots. Be their guide. You will not be always at their side with all these things, but do not forget, give them wings. Let them soar. Let them see life as an open door. You may skip some other things, but give them roots and give them wings." And this is what we pray, this generation of ours. This is our hope, that our children will get from the upbringing that we gave them a vision, a dream, that they will have roots in the past, in our example, but that they will also have wings to conquer a world still to come. Amen.